As we follow the journey that Jesus took leading up to his death, give us a renewed appreciation for your love. And also let us never forget the lengths that you're willing to go to set us free.
Thank you for your love,
your grace, your mercy, your favor. Thank you for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, you know, today is a bit of a somber message. We want to focus on the cross, on what it took for Jesus to pay the ultimate price for our sins. And so I know, like, Good Friday services can always be a bit of a downer, but I actually found a little bit of a story that something that happened on Good Friday, which actually was a bit positive for the guy involved. So we're going to take a unique journey today. Through scripture and through a bunch of videos to take a bit of a different perspective at one of Jesus' darkest days. So I'm a little bit of a child at heart sometimes. I like board games. I also like video games, you know, playing in a little bit of Assassin's Creed and Fallout and all sorts of others. I won't name too many of those. You guys might judge me. But the thing is like my wife's not a big fan though, you know. So from time to time on my days off, I'll sneak a cartoon or two in there. You know, I love hand-drawn cartoons. I have a unique respect for the painstaking process of hand-sketching every single frame, especially like Japanese-style anime. There's some crazy artists out there. And so in my preparation for this Good Friday message, I actually stumbled upon a bit of anime that I want to share with you guys in little segments today, just to enhance the message. This anime, it looks at the last days of Jesus through the eyes of one of the two criminals that hung next to him on the cross. For those of you who don't know the story, we're going to dig into it from the scripture, and then we're going to watch little clips to give us a better idea. Now, just a side note for those of you who want to hold me to this account's not recorded in scripture. There's only a few things at the end that are in scripture. So some of this is like artistic license and liberty that's been taken. But that's only at the start of the story. The end of the story is in the Bible, though. But I do think it gives us a unique perspective on what it must have been like on the day that Jesus died for us. And also, I've been around church for a while, and sometimes I get a little bit like this. All the stories become stale. You know the stories. You know how they end. And I thought this is kind of like a unique perspective on a story that we all know, you know. So I hope today, as we go through the passage and the Gospel of Luke, and we watch these clips from the animated story, that it'll give you just a new appreciation for just what Jesus did. And then we're going to end with like a family communion together. And usually we have these like really cool little clinical cups that you tear the top off and the bottom off and you knock it back like it's a shooter. But today I thought, you guys know what a shooter is, so don't judge me. Anyway, I thought, let's go back to basics today. You know, Jesus broke bread. And in the story that I'm going to share on Sunday morning, when Jesus broke bread, his disciples recognized him. And so I think there's sometimes something powerful about Jesus said that this is his body broken for us. This is his blood poured out for us. That's not really blood, that's juice. So you can drink it, just saying. And there's also gluten-free people. There's rice crackers if you can't do bread. So we thought of everyone. But so let's go through this story. I pray it blesses you. I pray it gives you a unique perspective on Jesus' last days, and then we'll have communion together. So, freedom on the darkest of days. Jesus bought freedom for each and every one of us. You know, there was a chasm between us and God because of all the mistakes, all the sins that we've ever done. And yet God came and paid the perfect price to see us restored to him, and he gave us freedom, as we sang earlier. So let's look at the first scripture with that said. In Luke 22, 63 to 64, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, which is a pretty cool translation. It tries to, the people who wrote the, or translated the Passion Translation, they were trying to bring out the heart of God and the raw emotion that God feels towards his people in this translation. So keep that in mind as we read this, that I hope today, church, you can start to get a bit of an idea, a bit of a perspective on just God's heart towards you, how much he loves you, how much he wants to be in fellowship with you, how much he wants to be your friend, and just the lengths that he took to make that happen. So, those who were guarding Jesus mocked and beat him severely. Right, so Jesus was arrested, and now he's being beaten. They also made fun of him, blindfolding him and slapping his face and saying, "Prove that you are a prophet and tell us which one of us hit you." They blasphemed and heaped insult after insult upon him. Remember, this is Roman centurions, prisoners, prison guards, doing it to the Son of God. Just keep that in mind. On Good Friday, they blasphemed and heaped insult upon insult upon him. So that's the first bit of scripture. So let's take a look at this from the perspective of the criminal who died on the cross. And we get to see how he ended up in prison. So let's take a look at the first video.
Is it against our law for us to pay taxes to the Roman Emperor or not?
Show me a silver coin.
Whose face and name are these on it?
Caesar!
Then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are
God. Apologies for the graphic blood and violence, but at least it's not the Passion of the Christ and it's a cartoon, so a little bit more acceptable. But I think it's good to have this first bit of perspective, because Jesus didn't do anything wrong. Jesus didn't kill a man. Jesus didn't steal something. You know, Jesus didn't rape someone. He was innocent. And yet here's from a criminal's perspective, that's like a representation of any one of us. We've done so many things that have violated God's law. You know, I can't count the amount of lies that I've told. You know, when I was younger, probably stole a pen or three. You know, there's just, God's law is that perfect standard that none of us can live up to. In the same way, this criminal, you know, he did stuff wrong. He killed a guy, although accidentally, and we don't know if that's actually why he was in jail. But in this story, he kills a guy accidentally, ends up in jail, and then gets crucified for it. So he was deserving of his, you know, the judgment and the punishment that he had in the laws of those times. But Jesus wasn't. And here, the crazy thing is like the guy who was totally deserving of this punishment, he didn't even get beaten. He's just chilling in prison like, oh yeah, I'm going to get crucified. But, I mean, you look at Jesus, did nothing wrong, and yet they just insult him, mock him, beat him to a pulp, And it's like, wow, God, you did all that for us and you were innocent. You did nothing wrong. So, yeah, you know, there's no way of knowing if that prisoner was there because of the things that he did. But it is an interesting situation to consider. So let's take a look now at the next bit of scripture, Luke 23, 26 to 27. As the guards led Jesus to be crucified, there was an African man. Shout out to all the Africans in the house. Woo! Yeah, come on. There was an African man in the crowd named Simon, and he was from Libya. You'll see some translations say a different place, but basically these translators have gone back and figured out where that place was, and it's actually modern-day Libya. So he had just arrived from a rural village to keep the feast of the Passover. The guards laid Jesus' cross on Simon's shoulders and forced him to walk behind Jesus and carry his cross. Massive crowds gathered to follow Jesus, including a number of women who were wailing with sorrow over him. Let's continue on our video journey and see how this pans out. Pretty brutal. Must have been a really grueling task to carry that huge piece of wood after being beaten to within an inch of his life. Jesus did that for each and every one of us. He carried the cross for us. He did all of this knowing full well that it was coming. You know, earlier in Luke 18, even before Jesus was arrested, he told his disciples this. In Luke 18, 32 to 33, I don't have the scripture up there, but you can go read it in your own time. Jesus said to them that he'd be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Now, Jesus knew what was coming, and yet he still took it. He did it for you and I. I find it absolutely amazing that all of that, with all of that brutality and suffering coming, because he's God, he knows all things, he still took it. He went through that grueling ordeal for our sakes. You know, interesting take-home thing, just an aside, is that there's a word, excruciating, that we have in the English language. And, you know, if you say to someone, something was really excruciating, it gives you that image of just, man, that guy's going through a tough time, through a real excruciating time. That actually comes from the word crucifixion and denotes the slow, painful, suffering death on a cross. And like God went through that excruciating death for each and every one of us to make us right with him because he loves us so much, much. Jesus did it all to give us freedom and forgiveness and new life. Let's get on to the powerful part. Let's now move on to the cross itself. That amazing symbol of the Christian faith. Our next reading is Luke 23:32-38. Two criminals were led away with Jesus, and all three were to be executed together. When they came to the place that is known as the skull, the guards crucified Jesus, nailing him to the center cross between the two criminals. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross, he prayed over and over, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Man, people are crucifying you, nailing you to a cross, and all you're thinking is forgiveness and love. The soldiers, after they crucified him, gambled over his clothing. A great crowd gathered to watch what was happening. The religious leaders sneered at Jesus and mocked him, saying, "Look at this man. What kind of chosen Messiah is this? He pretended to save others, but he can't even save himself." The soldiers joined in the mockery by offering Jesus a drink of vinegar. Over Jesus' head on the cross was written an inscription in Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. "This man is the king of all the Jews." And all the soldiers laughed and scoffed at him, saying, "Hey, if you're the king of the Jews, why don't you save yourself?" Let's take another look at this through the lens of the eyes of the criminal who shared a cross next to Jesus. Let's continue on our video journey.
Get on with it!
Still, Jesus speaks words of forgiveness to those who are brutally doing all kinds of terrible things to him. Then, so much mockery of the Son of God, insult upon insult. Good Friday? Seems to me like a really bad Friday. The darkest of days, for sure. Now, we focus in on our two criminals. Let's take a look at the Bible and see how each of the criminals responds to the mockery and insults that have been heaped upon our Savior. This is our final passage from Luke 23:39-47. One of the criminals hanging on the cross next to Jesus kept ridiculing him, saying, "What kind of Messiah are you? Save yourself and save us from this death." The criminal hanging on the other cross rebuked the man, saying, "Don't you fear God? You're about to die. We deserve to be condemned, for we're just being repaid for what we've done. But this man, he's done nothing wrong." Then he said, "I beg of you, my Lord Jesus, show me grace and take me with you into your everlasting kingdom." Jesus responded, "I promise you, this very day you will enter paradise with me." It was now only midday, yet the whole world became dark for 3 hours as the light of the sun faded away. And suddenly in the temple, the thick veil hanging in the holy place was ripped in two. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, I surrender my spirit into your hands." And he took his last breath and died. When the Roman captain overseeing the crucifixion witnessed all that had took place, he was awestruck and glorified God. Acknowledging what they had done, he said, "I have no doubt we just killed the righteous one." Pretty powerful words from an unbelieving Roman guard. Anyway, let's take a look at it at our last bit of video.
"Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
"Don't you fear God? We received the same sentence he did, but he has done no wrong. Remember me, Jesus. When you come as king,
I promise you, today you will be in paradise with me." "Your hands, I come in. My spirit." "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live."
Pretty powerful words. So, as this video ends, we now start to move towards reflection, but also hope. Because Sunday is coming, you know, although he died, Jesus rose again on the third day. Over 500 witnesses saw this happen, and even non-Christian historians agree on this fact. But before we even get to Sunday, let's dwell a moment longer on Good Friday. Jesus went through a terrible ordeal on this day over 2,000 years ago. So how can it be good? Well, for one criminal on the cross, it was a genuinely Good Friday, the end to his suffering and pain. He found freedom and peace and paradise through the Lord Jesus Christ on the darkest of days. Let's remind ourselves of what the criminal did to be set free by Jesus. Take a look at Luke 23:42. We'll just rewind back to that. This is the criminal's words. Then he said, "I beg of you, my Lord Jesus, show me grace and take me with you into your everlasting kingdom." And that's all that we as Christians, as believers in Jesus, that's where all we need to do is cry out to the grace, to have grace and mercy from God. You know, the only thing the man did was defend Jesus and ask for mercy. Jesus did the hard bit. All we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the words of Romans 10, verse 9 and verse 13. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. We can all, through Jesus, find freedom on the darkest of days. Now, if you're here today and this account moved you, let me tell you that you can be made right with God right here, right now. Church, could I get you all to stand now with me? You can be forgiven of all your mistakes and be made right with the loving God who created the entire world. Jesus sacrificed his body and shed his blood so that we can all have a second chance. If you want to lay hold of that second chance right now, pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, right now, I need you to come into my life. I can't do this without you. Forgive me of my sin and wash me clean. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus died on a cross to save my sins. I believe that he rose again on the third day, and I will follow Jesus all my days. Today is my day of new beginnings. Amen. If I can just get you guys to all keep your heads bowed right now. There's people here today who might have prayed that prayer for the first time, and they were moved by this story, by this video, by the suffering that Jesus went through for you. If you want to make a decision for Jesus and say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I prayed that prayer. I want Jesus in my life. I don't want to do life alone. I don't want to do it my way anymore. If that's you, if I can get you to be bold and just come to the front, I want to pray for every single person here today who prayed that prayer and wants to come back to Jesus. We want to give you a little Bible, and I just want to pray a prayer that Jesus is going to be with you all the days of your life. If you feel bold right now, this is a time between you and God. His Holy Spirit is here. If you want to make a decision for Jesus, please just come up to the front right now. I'll pray with you. Father God, we just pray right now for anyone here who prayed that prayer and wants to make a decision for Jesus, Lord, that they will be bold, that they will come to the front and they will say, Lord, I say yes to Jesus. I believe in you. I want you in my life. If you want Jesus in your life from this day forward, please come to the front right now. Make it official. Jesus said that if you confess him before people, he will confess you before his Father in heaven. It has to be a public declaration right now. Just come to the front and stand here. There's people coming. There's people coming. If they're not alone, if there's other people here who want to make a decision for Jesus today, just give it a moment more. Holy Spirit, please move in this place right now. You're touching people's hearts. You're touching people's lives. This is the reason why we do church. It's the reason why. Is so that people can get the light of Jesus in their lives, that they can come out of the darkness. If there's anybody else here who wants to respond to this prayer and say, Jesus, I want to come back to you. Jesus, I want to know you. I need you in my life. I can't keep doing it on my own. I can't keep making the mistakes and making the sins and not getting your forgiveness. Lord, I say yes to your forgiveness. If there's anyone else, there's two that have already responded. Is there anyone else who wants to say yes to Jesus this morning? Thank you, church. Just bear with me a moment longer. Thanks, guys. I think there's little packs. Mel, just grab a pack from Mel there. In there, you'll find there's a gospel. I think there's Easter eggs as well, so you guys are lucky. They're not usually in there. There's just a couple of things. But please, reach out to people in the church. We're not meant to do this walk alone. We'll help you. There'll be friends here that will help you on that walk with Jesus. It's the best decision ever. Church, can we just give a hand to those people who were bold? Who made a decision for Jesus. Sorry, I know I took a little bit of your time there, but that's why we do church. You know, that's why we do church. All the angels in heaven are celebrating right now because we've got two more people coming through heaven's gates when this world is over. So it's just so good. Anyway, awesome. I'm pumped. So good. We're now going to, as today is a little bit of a different Sunday, it's all about remembering what Jesus did for us, remembering the sacrifice. So we've got the hot cross buns afterwards with the symbol of the cross on. So as you eat those, think about what Jesus did for you. But also now we're going to take a time of communion. So, if you guys want to come forward and grab a couple of wine cups, that'd be great. Just be very careful with them. And if you just want to get stuck in there, I think there's sometimes something about getting gritty with it. Just come forward now, guys. Come and grab some bread. Come and grab some wine. Just go for it. Just be careful with spilling them on the carpet and stuff. If you do, let an usher know. We'll put some water on it. But yeah, as you guys grab the emblems, I'll just lead us in communion. Parents, if you want to grab your kids and you want to have communion together as a family with your kids, you can do that as well. So please just come and grab. If there aren't enough wine glasses, I think there's some more in the cafe. So just grab them and then go back and form little huddles as families, and then I'll lead us in communion. We're just going to think about the gravity of what Jesus accomplished for us, you know, just how amazing it is that through his death, through his body, through his blood, we can have new life. We can be restored to Jesus. You know, it's just so good. So good. Yeah, no worries. So good. But guys, maybe if we can get that video playing in the background just very quietly, there's some background music as we go through communion. That would be awesome. Cheers. Awesome. So good. And yeah, like I said, there's the gluten-free options if you want. You know, when before Jesus went to the cross, he had a last supper with his disciples. And he broke bread with them and he took a cup and he said, this bread represents his body. His body that was crushed, that was broken, as we saw, beaten to a pulp for us so that we can have forgiveness. As we now partake of this body together, church, let's remember what Jesus did for us. His body, his great sacrifice, and the lengths that he took so that we can be right with him, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can have freedom over sin and death. Jesus paid that ultimate price for us. Let's take of the bread right now and remember Jesus' body that was crushed for us. Someone else to die. This is how I love you. And at the Last Supper, Jesus also, he took the cup when the meal was finished, and he said, this is my blood poured out as a sacrifice for you. As we drink the red juice, we remember just how much Jesus has done for us, just how much he loves us, how much grace and mercy and forgiveness is found in the name of Jesus and in the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking the cross. As we drink this juice, we remember your blood that was poured out for us. Father God, I thank you for each and every member of your church here this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can once again remember the amazing sacrifice that Jesus did for us. Lord, we thank you for forgiveness. We revel in your mercy. We are just undone by your grace, by just what you've done for us. Lord, let us never forget just the gravity of what it took for you to give us full forgiveness. Lord, you were the perfect sacrifice. You laid it down for us. Lord, as we leave this place in anticipation of Resurrection Sunday and how you took victory over sin and death, Lord, even with that joy, let us not forget the lengths that you took to make us right with you, to give us forgiveness of sins, and to have a relationship with you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the two sisters who have come into the knowledge of Jesus again today, Lord. We thank you that there's salvation in your house. Lord, we pray that we'll continue to spread the good news that you are the risen Savior, and you are worthy and you are mighty to save. You are a faithful God. We love you. In Jesus' name.
men